The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultations, just $25. Now, if you've never heard about Greenwood Family Chiropractic, Max Living, and what we do, I have a fellow friend here today, a special guest who I'm very excited for. Her name is Leah Wilson. Leah and her husband, Nick, own an office, a Max Living office, up on the north side of Indianapolis. So I like to pretend they own the north side, I own the south side. So you're either going to go up or down if you want health. But it's just an amazing opportunity. I'm so excited that she has taken the time to come down and really talk about what she is doing for Stand for Health Freedom. It is something that for so long I have thought about and prayed about, but never have had the opportunity, ability to know how to move forward with something as large in terms of magnitude and the impact that it has in terms of Stand for Health Freedom. But it's 100% congruent with the five essentials and what we look at in terms of health. Max mind, maximize nervous system, nutrition, detoxification, oxygen and lean muscle. You know, that thought process of everybody being whole, it's just getting back to there and having that voice. So I want to be able to introduce and say thank you to Leah for coming down today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's fun to be here.
Okay. So you are an amazing mom. You are an amazing lawyer. You have helped lead the clinic at Indy Family Chiropractic for years. And now your role in the last couple of years has transitioned again. So if you could just speak a little bit more in depth to your credentials and like what, I mean, it's pretty vast.
Yeah, I think you summed it up pretty well. I'm a health freedom attorney full time now, but my loves have always been justice and natural health. And so it's been fun to see how this journey has come together with my own formal education and then experience in complex litigation, representing companies in defense litigation, and then ultimately exiting that to devote myself full time to natural health because of the mission we were on the north side of Indy and the Indianapolis area, to share health with our community. So it just really made sense at that time. And now God has brought it full circle to marrying the two with our fight for justice and standing up for our rights and our ability to make decisions that are in line with our deeply held beliefs. And so that's the law part. And then the natural health part is that's our audience, people who have decided that, hey, there might be something to a wellness lifestyle. We're not cool with the current health statistics in our nation with 54% of children having at least one chronic disease diagnosis, 40% of adults having at least two chronic disease diagnoses, lifespan going down over a couple of years, and saying, wait, this isn't God's best for us. There has to be more. So there's a whole lot of people out there that now are captivated by the option of a wellness lifestyle, or at least curious about it, and might do everything medical and take every medical recommendation except one or two things. And so those people are really who we are serving and who we are helping retain the rights to do what they see fit for themselves and for their children.
I like it. So if someone hasn't heard of what Stand for Health Freedom is, what is Stand for Health Freedom?
Yeah, and I'll give you a little bit of background so that you can see how this all came about. But in short, Stand for Health Freedom is a nonprofit organization that gives you the opportunity to stand up for basic human rights, constitutional rights, parental rights. And that sounds kind of esoteric or like, oh, cool, how does that come about logistically? But just to give you the backstory on why Stand for Health Freedom exists.
Yeah, I love the way that this got started is just, I feel like everything God lined up in place so well for this to come about. So yeah, how did it get started?
So I went to law school to fight for the reform of foster care because it pained me to see foster children age out without a home. So that was one thing that really got to me. And it also pained me to see young foster children managed behaviorally with medication. So there are, in our country alone, there are 240,000 plus two-year-olds on psychotropic drugs. So they're managing their brains with medicine, and a disproportionate amount of those are the ones in foster care. And so those things were hot buttons for me and something that had really just been a hot pursuit for myself. And after practicing law for a few years, my husband and I decided not only to be advocates for abused and neglected children, but to become foster parents. And we had an amazing relationship with the most well-respected agency in Indiana, and people here that are listening are in Indiana, so you might know the Children's Bureau. And so we had a great relationship with them. And when it came time to renew our foster care licensure a few years later, the state said, we're denying your license because your family is unfit to be a foster family because your healthy biological sons are a threat to the welfare of foster children. So
I feel like you have to sit on that and resonate for that a minute, because if it didn't like spark a fire of anger in your belly, it should.
Right. And so when I'm sitting there hearing this determination come down, of course, I fought it all the way up the chain of command. And after fighting that determination and going higher and higher and higher, and it didn't change, I said, okay, God, this is way too big to fight and way too big to walk away from. So how is it that leaders of our communities could believe that children are better off sleeping on DCS's floor than in the home of a loving family with healthy children? Mm-hmm. So the decision was baseless. No one could answer me at the agency, at Department of Child Services, going up to the people who make these determinations. No one could give me a scientific basis of why my children were a threat. It was just a conclusion that since they don't comply with 100% of the vaccine schedule, that they are a threat. And so since there wasn't scientific evidence and there was no base in it, in law or even a rule, no rule had changed or been passed between my original licensure and now being denied the licensure. It was simply a government agency's interpretation of a part of a rule that says to be licensed, you have to make sure that there's no reason the family is a detriment to the well-being of the foster child. So that was what the interpretation was that had changed. And I was like, how can our community leaders be buying into this without any basis? So the more I dug and researched, and I, you know, just knowing that pharma has a huge influence on the state, but just digging deeper and deeper into it and their influence on the state program, the more I realized that if we don't want these lies to persist, that we need to organize in a big way to, first of all, raise the public's consciousness of what health freedom is and why it matters, regardless of if you do everything medical or nothing medical or somewhere in between, that health freedom matters to you and your family. So first of all, we needed to organize to raise the public's consciousness. And second of all, we needed to be able to measure the number of people that care about these issues so that we can take those numbers to every elected official across the United States and show them just how many people care, and that we cannot be cast aside as fringe. We realize that pharma outspends oil and gas every day of the week in lobbying. And so it's
I think you have to touch base on that, because you're going to go over it really fast. And I don't think that the average person, two things that I don't think the average person knows. One is that statistic. And the other one is, you said, you know, we know that Big Pharma has such an impact on government and an influence on government. Are those two things that you can just touch on real quick? Because I don't think that the average person maybe knows the magnitude of those two things.
Yes. And so when you hear about, you know, someone maybe questioning CDC guidelines or questioning if laws are based in science or actually necessary, it's because, as I said, pharma outspending even an industry such as oil and gas for lobbyists to be in the state houses, to be in the county health departments, to be in the federal Senate and representatives, House representatives. They are there daily educating them on what they see as the solution to disease, what they see as a solution to health. And so if the pharmaceutical industry is there pushing their solutions to lawmakers, then they need to be hearing the other side of that too. Because if that's the only side they are hearing, then there becomes an assumption of there's this one belief system of how to care for your body and that everyone should be doing it the same. So if they're buying these laws and they, the CDC holds, I think at this point it's 52 some odd patents for the vaccines that pharmaceutical industry manufactures, then holding hands. The government and the industry literally hold hands as it relates to financial profit. And so if the legislators are most certainly hearing from the lobbyists and the special interest groups on a regular and frequent basis with a specific agenda in mind, and y'all can look into this, it's called Immunization Agenda 2030, which there was one for 2020, which the goal was to vaccinate everyone, and now it's to leave no one behind. So they kind of just changed the language a little bit to be a little bit stronger, that the agenda for 2030, the immunization agenda that they have set out, is to leave no one behind. So they have that education from an industry that has financial ties. And then they hear from a few moms or citizens who show up at the state house. So the scales are so out of balance. And that's why Stand for Health Freedom exists, is so that we can have a mechanism to show our numbers, to show that one size fits all mandatory medicine must not exist, A, in our communities, and B, we still want informed consent, that we want to know what the risks and benefits are of every intervention that is being recommended for our children. What is the risk and benefit of not doing it? What is the risk and benefit of doing it?
Well, and I think this is a good time to break. And then that way, when we come back, let's give some examples of those risks and benefits when we return.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. We also have several social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, all Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Today, I have been honored to have my friend Leah Wilson, who is co-founder of...
Yeah, co-founder, executive director, yep.
Yes, of Stand for Health Freedom. So we did get a little bit of side-railed. I guess I asked you a question in the middle of you talking about how you got started with Stand for Health Freedom and you never finished.
Yeah, I think we got a little bit into it of what the impetus behind like deciding to jump full force into health freedom full time was. And then the creation of Stand for Health Freedom came out of that as I started, you know, in natural health, I've had the honor to work with some of the best in the world with, as it relates to doctors like yourself, and then with Sayer G, who runs greenmedinfo.com,
yeah,
which is one of the largest repositories for research, for health research in the world. So I started working with Sayer G when I jumped full-time into health freedom work to cover issues such as the measles outbreak. And then we could get 10,000 shares on a report on a measles hearing overnight. And we thought, you know what? We're going to continue to be cast aside as fringe and insignificant as long as this stays with social media shares. Mm. We have to have a way to give people a way to make a difference. And in this digital age, it exists, right? I mean, there's no denying the solution exists in our digital age. So we built out Stand for Health Freedom so that instead of just pressing share on Facebook, that if there is an issue going on, that you can click. And when you put your full address in, your full address has to be there. I know people get funny about privacy things, but when you put your full address in, it connects you with the people who have a say on that issue. So who are you supposed to be talking to about this? Who has influence, whether it be your senator or your representative or a federal representative or a local representative? You know, all of that legwork is done for you in knowing who has authority on this issue and what do they need to be hearing right now? What is the vetted message, the clean message that has to do with parental rights, constitutional rights, civil rights, non-discriminatory actions, not getting sidetracked with trying to make them see that you are right. It's not about us being right. It's about us retaining the human rights to decide what goes into our bodies at any given juncture. So that's, we just had a dream to build out this platform as an action portal so that people could do something about what they were reading, because it becomes overwhelming and crippling when you read something that you don't like and you're like, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue how to make a difference in this, and who am I to try to make a difference? But when you can help them click to act, they immediately have some sort of resolve, and then they can share it. It's portable, so they can just click share with their social media circles, with their peers and other circles in their life. They can share that so that they can know what's going on. One thing I want to say about that is I've been reflecting on the political climate in the circus that we are kind of watching. I think that we found ourselves here where we are right now, and people have disengaged themselves from their civic duty to know what's going on, who they're voting for, being intentional about who's on the ballot and who they're going to cast a vote for, and then following that up with, what do they have authority to do, and what are they trying to claim authority to do that affects me and my family, specifically in this realm, that affects our ability to choose which medical interventions we do or do not want, what medicines we want in our bodies. And that choice has to stay with us. But what's happened is people are so disgusted by politics mm-hmm. that they've disengaged civically. And we can't do that. We have to say it's kind of akin to people divorcing the church or leaving God behind, leaving God out of their life because they're disgusted by religion.
Right.
So if you're disgusted by politics, that's fine, but it still remains your personal responsibility, not only to take care of your own health, but to know what's going on in your community. So it's your personal responsibility, and you can do something about it, especially through platforms like Stand for Health Freedom, that you can know what's going on, and then you can click to say, I stand up for this issue, and that I am standing with all the other people who are taking action on this specific campaign, so that when we go to the state senator and say, you've received 5,000 emails this week and we need a response from you, that it matters.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting about that? When you mentioned that people get weird about their address, can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
It was me at first.
Yes.
It was. Because I'm like, why do you even need this? And then I realized if you are helping me out to say, you know, if I just go online and say, okay, who do I need to email about this? Like, who do I need to call? Who do I need to address about this specific issue, whatever that issue may be? And then I'm like, I don't really know. And so, because where I live dictates who I would speak to. And so I think that, so, it, you know, it's not for, you know, capturing your this or that. It's truly because in order to direct you to the right person to talk to, you need to know demographically where you live, because where I live and part of this city is going to dictate to whom I need to speak with. And so I think that was really one, because then once I did do it, I was like, this is absolutely amazing. I've utilized Stand for Health Freedom platform I can't tell you how many times, you know, over this course of the past year, I mean, often, because of the fact that I realized, like, this is the tool that I have been looking for, but I didn't know exists. And I was a bit trepidatious about, like, well, I don't know if I want to give you all of it. Like, what are you going to do with it? And you're like, I'm going to figure out who you need to talk to. But in order to do that, I need to figure out where you live.
Right. And the reason that's so important is because when push comes to shove, those messages are only powerful when they're coming from someone who can vote for them.
Yeah.
So with the way that all of our districts are drawn, a full address is necessary to be confident I'm telling you who your representative is, who your senator is, who your county councilman is, who your sheriff is. In order to tell you any of that, we have to have a full address. And then that address is used to prove to that representative I'm a constituent. So it'll be stamped that the constituency is verified by the address, but the address would never be turned over to anyone in full. If there's a petition, which we don't do a ton of petitions, but sometimes it's good to gather awareness on an issue and have people stand up on that issue without it being a direct campaign, a direct email or tweet or phone call. And so when we do that, if people just put their zip code in their city and state, that's fine. But be sure you're using your zip code in your city and state for where you are registered to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we ever wanted to take that petition and have extreme political significance with it, then we're able to say, look, these are all people who have verified who they are. You know, it would be first initial, last name, zip code. And they're taking a stand on this issue, and we're going to vote you out if you don't listen to us. So it's a, you know, it's only as powerful as we allow it to be. So even though privacy is a big issue, and you know what, we're pro privacy rights. We don't think that our information should be spread around and then should be used in ways that we don't want it to be used. And so we only use it in a way that you give consent for us to. And that's, for one, to connect you with your specific people, and two, to alert you when issues come up for you. Those are the only two ways we use it.
Right. Well, and I think that's important too, is because then when it is an issue in your area, you know, sometimes, and I, again, I was guilty about this. I think, you know, obviously in the last couple of years, I've learned more about politics than I literally have my whole entire life. So I was that person who kind of just like, you know, I'm one person. It's not going to make that big of a difference. And, you know, kind of just along like, oh, you know, if there's an issue, someone will help figure it out. Like, it doesn't have to be me. Someone will do it. And so I'm realizing the older that I get, having children now, knowing, you know, knowing more, which we'll talk about, knowing more about like my right for health freedom, and knowing that, you know, you are this golden goose. Like, there aren't, you are someone who's fighting for it, but the average person is not. And so there's only so many of you. So, you know, as individual people, this is what truly does make the difference.
It's good. And standing together is politically significant. And we will never have the money and the influence that the industry has, but we do have the people. And so we have to be able to show that there's thousands, tens of thousands of people on any given issue that truly care.
Yeah, that's where your voice is so much bigger than what I had ever imagined, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, when I was like, it doesn't make that much of a difference. So with that, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. I have Leah Wilson, who is co-founder, executive director, a Stand for Health Freedom. But we are just talking a little bit more about, you know, when you talk about your health freedoms, I think that thought process for the average person is one that they don't necessarily concentrate on much in terms of like what health freedom means and what people have the opportunity and ability to make those choices on. And so we were talking a little bit on the break just about how informed consent is something that is not often given. You know, we talk about like, hey, you have these lawmakers who are going in and lobbying and saying, here's my side, here's my side, here's my side, here's my side, but you never actually hear the other side. And oftentimes, you know, through medical intervention, great, because it's not true healthcare, it's sick care. But they give you this one side. And my example that I was sharing with her is that I had a patient, older gentleman in his 70s, had his grandkids in town. And so he didn't sleep well because kids, right? But was super stressed because he couldn't sleep well. So he went to his medical doctor, and his medical doctor gave him something to help him sleep. And so several weeks passed, and I noticed that we hadn't seen him in the office. And so I called him and his wife to see what was going on. And they said, well, you know, his anxiety is so bad right now that he literally can't leave the house. He hasn't left the house in weeks. And she said, he's to the point now where it's like dangerous. I think he might be suicidal. And I said, well, what did they give him for sleep? And the medication that she shared with me that I looked at, and I said, did you know that this is a pretty strong antidepressant? And she said, no, it's not. It's just to help him sleep. And when we looked, it was actually black box labeled. So it's one of the most dangerous drugs that could be given. You know, so they come in there is for something simple as like, I'm not sleeping well. And they give him this incredibly potent antidepressant, which the number one side effect and why it was black box labeled with that warning was because of the rate of suicide that came along with it. So you take this man who can't sleep because his kids, grandkids are in town. Fast forward 2 months, now he wants to take his own life. And all the while, they put this trust in this physician that they were going to go there to help him sleep.
Right.
And so nothing. And I said, did they share anything about this? And they said, nope. And I was like, okay. Because I wonder if that informed consent was given beforehand. Hi, I understand that he can't sleep. Here's this medication. And by the way, one of the main side effects that is known, documented, heavily documented, is suicide. But by the way, he may or may not sleep better. Like, would you make a different decision?
Right. The risk benefits. I mean, it's informed consent is something that, A, we've been afforded for, where we're supposed to have been afforded for four generations at least now. Because after World War II, when there were so many medical experiments done on the population in the name of public health, we said we had the Nuremberg trials, if you remember from history, where we said never again, that there has to be informed consent. We're not going to experiment on the population, and we're not going to unwillingly, you know, force someone into a medical intervention that they can't give proper consent for. So we said never again. And now we find ourselves with the common practice being I walk into a physician's office and I am given a recommendation, whether it's for a routine visit and it's the five vaccinations that my child is supposed to get this visit, or whether it's for a specific problem, like you were talking about walking in for a sleep issue, and you're handed a solution. And when we're handed that solution, are we also walked through, you know, the risk benefit of here's what you're up against. If you do nothing, here are the risks. If you do nothing, here are the benefits. If you do something, here are the risks and benefits. And that's a decision that we as individuals should be making. And personal responsibility for your health is a big deal, because you're going to find yourself in a position 5-10 years down the road, or maybe even sooner, where your health is totally out of control. And then it's amazingly tough to rein it back in at that point. And so knowing what's going on in your body is super important. And knowing that anytime you walk into a medical provider or a healthcare provider's office, that you have the right to have that conversation about risks and benefits and to say yes or no. And that's with anything, with any medical intervention. And a lot of times moms think, for example, that, well, if my kids are going to go to the local school, that they have to follow all the pediatrician's recommendations, including every single shot on time.
That's a big thing with the moms that I go through. And I would say probably about 98% of them, for every 100 new moms that I talk to, two of them know that their children can go to school without being on schedule or having those shots, and 98% had no idea because they were just told. They used to have them in some city. It was like
no shots, no school.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's a common misconception, and I can see why. It's just the norm. It's the standard of care for our pediatric population. But when you look at the standard of care for our pediatric population, is to get the 72 doses between birth and 18 of vaccinations. And then you also look at our health outcomes. It's like, we need to be more intentional, because guess what? No one is responsible or liable for your child's health outcomes except for you. No one's going to be holding the bag of side effects or the financial burden of remedying it or the emotional burden of walking your child through something except for you. And so it's time to ask the right questions, right? So it's not about, I have to do this to get my kid into school. It's about, oh, I'm making a decision for my child's health, and it is my responsibility, not my doctor's, not the state's, not the schools, and certainly not the CDC's. It's a government agency that will never have any liability for your child's personal health outcomes.
I have a funny story that I didn't share with you yet. I was probably about a year ago. My oldest, he's 3 and a half now, he had a really high fever, right? It was probably like 103, 104. We managed fevers naturally, right? So kind of let it play its course. And a couple days later, I noticed that he had some dry crusted like serous fluid like that had come out of his ears. And so I'm like, oh, you probably had an ear infection, right? Like, had no idea. Didn't pull at his ears, never really cried, just had a fever, was a bit lethargic. And so I wanted to be able to put something in his ear. And if you have a perforated eardrum, you shouldn't put anything in his ear. It increases the rate of infection. Well, he's mine. He's not going to listen to his mom. He would not let me look in his ear. So I just took him to the pediatrician. I'm like, look, can you tell me if it's still perforated? And he was like, well, looks like he had a double ear infection. Now, mind you, he had not had a fever for 3 days. And I was like, okay. And then knowing, right, that majority of pediatric ear infections are viral. They play its course. Right? You use antibiotic for bacterial infections, not viral infections. And so he started to write me a script. And I was like, I said, so I have a quick question for you. And he said, what? And I said, what makes you think that this is bacterial as opposed to viral for an ear infection, right? Do you want to know what he told me?
What was it?
40 years worth of experience. That's what he
said. Scientific, right?
I was like, And I was like, so he hasn't had a fever for 3 full days. Like, the infection has thus passed. He had a double ear infection, right? Like, lasted a couple of days. He's down and out. It was like maybe 2 or 3 days. And he looked at me and he goes, you're not going to fill this, are you? And I said, no. And he took his pad. He didn't hand me anything. He walked out of the room and said, all right, well, then call me if you need anything else. And I was like, thank you. Have a good day.
Yes.
But I think that's one where, you know, the average person who comes in there says, oh my goodness, like asking those questions, like, is this bacteria or viral? You know, having that knowledge, but then being able to stand up for my kiddo. Because if I put him on antibiotics for the next 5 days, what difference is it going to make? And the answer was none, because we didn't, because he had already passed the fever, right? He was up, moving, running around, which is why he wouldn't let me look in his ears. So it's just one of those things that I feel like that knowledge about my ability to stand up for my health and the health of my children is something that, had I not been empowered with kind of more of this knowledge and movement that we have and are on, then I would have taken the antibiotics, you know, cause all of this gut dysbiosis, you know, the leaky gut and all these things, antibiotic resistance. So when he does have this bacterial infection that I may need an antibiotic, it's going to be rendered useless.
Right. And most people are now aware that overuse of antibiotics is no bueno, right? I mean, I think that that's been blasted far and wide, that we overuse antibiotics, we create superbugs, and we create a ton of gut imbalance, which is why we're seeing so many autoimmune disorders. I mean, the pediatric population is unhealthier today than in the human history. And so what is causing, what are the elements that are affecting this? It's not genes, people. We can't take a statistic that was at 12% in the 80s and then fast forward 30 years and it be 54% and say that our DNA changed that rapidly. And that, you know, and it's not just DNA, because it's across all demographics. It's across the country, across the poverty-stricken populations, the wealthier populations, all ethnicities. And so it has to point to lifestyle and environmental issues. And so it's, you think it might be silly, just take the antibiotic, but
yeah.
And the questions, you know, you have the privilege of having such a vast knowledge and understanding of human biology, whereas the mom, really all she needs to know is, for example, if she's going in to get MMR, well, to not go to school, it would have to be something in her gut or Holy Spirit guidance or divine or something with her religion to say that we opt out of this. But making an educated decision involves saying, what's the risk of measles for a child in a first world country? And what's the risk of MMR? You know, it's what's the risk? What's the benefit of getting this? And what's the risk of getting this? And so you just always need to be aware of what if I do nothing? And what if I do something? Where my domino is going to fall?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about before how natural acquiring of chicken pox decreases
shingles.
Not only shingles, but glioblastoma, like brain, like a deadly brain cancer. Naturally acquiring the chicken pox. It's like half. It's been a little bit. I just sent it out not too long ago. But it decreases your risk of a glioblastoma by half. So literally having chicken pox decreases your risk of having a deadly brain cancer by 50%.
And chicken pox isn't deadly.
Right.
And literally when they decided to recommend across the board for the pediatric population the chicken pox vaccine, it was to avoid the discomfort and the nuisance of it.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a mortality issue. And it's crazy to think that now, just I would say only one or two generations removed from chickenpox being a common childhood illness, people don't know that.
Yeah.
They don't know that the reason that we have a routine immunization, they think it's because if I get the chickenpox, I'll kill my grandparents.
Yeah.
Which I was actually living with my grandparents when I had the chickenpox. So I'm not sure where that all, you know, came from scientifically. However, it's important to realize when you're interfering with natural process that there will always be a risk.
Well, they even looked at like the natural shedding. So like your grandparents actually built more natural immunity being around you because you shed that virus. So their antibodies then that might have been dormant for 20 or 30 years then picked back up and said, hey, I remember seeing you before. I'm just going to strengthen myself a little bit. So that actually you, though we fear like, oh my goodness, it's going to kill your grandparents. When in reality, what it actually did was help increase their antibodies that they had
already. And decrease shingles.
Right? Like,
and shingles is horrible. No one wants shingles. It's so painful. It's horrible. And so people understand that concept that you're talking about with the term booster.
Yeah.
It's an exogenous booster. So being around kids that have chickenpox is literally your booster shot for chickenpox. You don't get the shingles.
Yeah. So when we come back, let's touch base again about more about how we can, as an individual, become part of that movement, get involved in what we need to do.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
How fitting, a fighter that inspires me. Today we have Leah Wilson, who is co-founder and executive director of Stand for Health Freedom. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Today we have had the blessing to have Leah down here to be able to speak to more of what, you know, I shared this with Leah very candidly, is that I've always wanted someone to like be on my team, to be in my corner, to fight for what I believed in, to the fact that I feel as if I should be able to make my own decision when it comes to the health of myself and my family. And knowing that there are risks and benefits with any decision that you make. You drove here today. The benefit is that we get to speak to hundreds of thousands of people about their ability to stand up for their health freedom. The risk is you got on the road in your car. It's dangerous, right? You could have gotten into an accident. There's a risk benefit in every single decision you make in life. Oh, you don't feel like brushing your teeth? Cool. Your risk is you might get a cavity, right? Like, the literally there's a risk benefit in everything. And so I've always thought, like, my goodness, like, what if we could just have this person to fight for a voice? And I never felt like I was qualified enough for that. And so to see that Leah has stepped into this role and position and taken that on, where her law qualifications and her ability to have that knowledge in natural health to say, hey, if you're that person who is listening and says, I want to be able to take action so that we maintain our right to make that decision for ourselves, it is not something that's forced upon us. What do we do? You know, and that was one where I kind of just threw up my hands and said, well, what I'm going to do isn't going to make a difference. And then this came along and I said, well, this is why we have to talk to everyone about it, is because everyone listening as an individual has the ability to make a huge change, and especially through this Stand for Health Freedom platform. So as the average person kind of goes through that thought process, or maybe it's just me, but if the average person may think about that, like, what can someone do?
It's good. And there's so much that you said that, you know, sparks thought, because you saying, I don't feel qualified. And I think that a lot of times people don't feel qualified to take a stand for something they're passionate about because they feel like they have to fight it with knowledge and information, which isn't the truth. You don't have to be the most knowledgeable person or understand the body the most or understand public policy. You simply have to be a voice for your own needs, for your family's needs. And then together with Stand for Health Freedom, collectively, we can be a stronger voice because we can take them the numbers that show, look, there are 5,000 families in our area, in the Indianapolis area, that care about this issue, and we need you to represent us. We elected you to represent us. And public pressure gets results faster than law changes, faster than court cases, faster than scientific research that's bought and paid for anyway. And so public pressure is going to be very key with retaining health freedom as a birthright, retaining health freedom as a human right, because the laws and the policy reflect the public's consciousness. If the public falls asleep on this issue and says, okay, we'll just allow you to treat our children however you want as it relates to their health, then the laws and the policies are going to reflect that sleepiness of the public. So as we raise the public's consciousness that this is an issue we must care about, regardless of our health decisions, we have to care about that we are the ones in charge of our lives, then what you do is you go to www.standforhealthfreedom.com and you click the Join the Movement in the top right-hand corner and you sign up to join the movement. So you get the alerts when it's time to take a stand in your area, and you get the newsletters and the vlogs and the blog post about how to be engaged civically. And we make it easy for you. That's the key. Mm-hmm. We're not silly. We understand that people have busy lives and way too many distractions these days. But if you can click to act and join a group of people who also care, then that carries great political significance. So just stay informed, stay involved, and click to act when you get those alerts so that together we can secure a better future for our children, for our grandchildren, as it relates to having personal responsibility for our health and the outcomes that we have.
So standforhealthfreedom.com.
Yes. And you can follow us on Instagram at Stand for Health Freedom. Yep. You can follow us on Twitter at Stand F-O-R for Health Number One. So Twitter, Stand for Health One. Instagram, Stand for Health Freedom. Facebook, Stand for Health Freedom. But ultimately, make sure that you join the movement so you're getting those alerts.
I would say, because I have a couple email accounts, and one of them might have close to 80,000 unread emails. It's fine. I don't want to talk about it. So where I found a lot of it is I am a bit more active on social media than I am on that, my email. So I've signed up for the email and I'll get those, but I'm obviously a little bit more diligent, especially when I see these things happening. But I think you guys do such a great job on the social media platforms, and it is so forefront, and we are so active. The average person is so active on social media. So I think those are some really good platforms too. And sign up, because then you'll get your specific emails for your area at standforhealthfreedom.com. But then too, Instagram, Facebook, and then
Twitter.
I'm the least savvy on Twitter out of all of those. So
it's good for civic engagement. It's where it's at for Twitter. So it's kind of a fun platform. And you can talk to your legislators on Twitter.
Mm.
So you can, you know, tweet them with their handle And then sometimes if they're open-minded and they care about what the people are saying, they'll respond.
That's good. So we have, if you were to wrap up and you have 1 minute to speak what's on your heart, absolutely anything, what would you want the people to hear?
Yeah, I mean, I want you to be encouraged that there is something you can do by standing up, by standing firm and resolute, and that this is your right to care for your body in the way that you see best fit, and to care for your children in the way that you see best fit. And when we do that, it's the public's opinion and it's our public's awareness that is going to hold the legal and the legislative proverbial feet to the fire. So together, we can make this happen and we can see this tide shift in our lifetime for the family unit to have greater autonomy and authority.
I love it. So again, standforhealthfreedom.com and then Stand for Health Freedom on Instagram, Facebook, and the Twitter handle is
Stand for Health #1.
Stand for Health #1. Thank you so much, Leah. I greatly appreciate your knowledge, your expertise, your calling to what you do. It's bigger than you'll ever know. And so to be able to share that to the masses, I think is such a blessing. So thank you for that. Thanks so much for tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.